Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
That's grand, because we're live now. All right, guys. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to the third iteration of the Self-Isolate In, with us here in Snugcast, myself, DJ Walsh, Owen, Tab, and we're joined this week. Finn's on a hiatus. He can only do 2 weeks in a row with us before he gets fed up. So we've drafted in Peter Kavanagh, co-host of Motherfucklore, Irish language activist, a man who enjoys a crisp, and also a councillor for South Dublin County Council, and just all around good guy. How are you getting on? Brilliant, and Owen, it's a week since we last spoke in this format. How's your week been?
Good, actually. The day after our last podcast, so last Saturday, I sat in a chair in the middle of the kitchen there and Kira cut my hair. So that was an experience. Like, I was like, yes. What were you talking about? I think I've had one haircut. Like,
yeah, you've gone from Novak Djokovic to Thibaut Courtois overnight. A smooth transition, and I suppose let's kick it off by the most important question tonight. Anyway, Cav, welcome to Snugcast. Unfortunately, your first time on is not in person. What are you drinking tonight, virtually?
No, I'm actually drinking. If I hold it up, there we go. It is a San Marzano. It's a red from Italy. A friend of mine dropped over to the Hex a while ago, brought that as a gift. I was driving along later on, so I couldn't drink it that night. To be honest with you, I just don't drink at home. I love going for pints, love the social atmosphere of the pub. I have a few cans of craft beer in the fridge, but to be honest with you, they're in there so long. I think the dates may be questionable on them, so I figured it's as good a time as I need to crack open that lovely gift. And, the only thing that I found out is I don't have any wine glasses, so it's a mug of wine.
Sure. Listen,
it's
far from wine glasses. We were reared here on this podcast anyway. That's an interesting point you make about not drinking much at home. Neither do I. And I find that people find out that you have a podcast where you go to the pub and go for pints every week. So like every time someone has to buy me something or congratulate me for something or someone wants to give me something, they give me cans or they give me bottles or I don't drink at home. Like, there's a whole shelf full of bottle, random collection of bottles over. But obviously, with the current predicament and the pubs not being open, we have to make do with what we have. Owen, what are you on yourself? I was only saying to Owen before the when the pubs first closed before Kildare Brewing Company sorted us out a week or two ago, we actually had, and by sorted us out, we bought the cans off them, obviously. But we actually,
I thought it was a bit of spawn con there, you know.
I wish.
Hashtag sponsors.
Perks of the job. But actually, I found a few. I wanted to have a bottle there just. Went up there a couple of days after the pubs were closed, and now lamenting bottle, and all I had in the house that I couldn't find my like stash of random cans and bottles that they were moved around for some reason. So I came across a couple of bottles of Heineken that had the UEFA Champions League final logo on them. I've no idea where they came from. I don't even think it was Madrid 2019. I think it could have been
Istanbul.
Yeah. They'll do. I was going to say they do this year, but that's obviously been cancelled too. It was supposed to be in Istanbul this year as well, but there we are. That just goes to show how often I drink at home. But I'm longing for a pub. Like, do you know that smell of a pub?
It entirely depends on the pub.
Yeah, but like, if you could create some sort of potpourri that would give you an awe of a certain pub, I reckon you'd be onto a big winner during lockdowns. Like, if I could. Listen, you're making me nostalgic for the wander in now.
So, Peter, when lockdown is over, what'll be your first pub that you go to? The Mulligans.
So I love Mulligans. Mulligans is fantastic, and I was able to easily find an image of it online. Well, actually, I go to Quinn in Lochan Village. Out here in southwest Dublin, lovely little bit of sort of coach house from the I think the late 17th century. So a historic pub and a great boozer. Lovely, lovely pint. I get down there, and I'll tell you. The one thing is, I'm a Guinness drinker, so I'm not sure I'm going to go out the first night after the lockdown. I'm going to let there be a run.
Oh, man, you got this. Have you ever
gone to? Gone to a 21st in a GA club or in a function room of a hall or something like that, and they only open the place up on Saturdays, Sundays. When you go there on a Saturday at 7 o'clock for somebody's 21st or 40th or whatever, and you have the first pint of Guinness, and the head is fucking brown. You're like,
oh, stop. I went to an opening of a nightclub before, and it was had a pint of Guinness at the opening, and it was like the beach. It was like drinking.
I don't know about the opening of a nightclub one. I've never been to one then, but Cav, all I'll say to you is, I know what GA clubs you have up there in South Dublin, because the GA club that I played with growing up in Cork had the pub there is open every night.
Oh, no, the bar's open, it's the function room.
Oh, the function room.
Oh, no, I'm talking about function room, Guinness. That's how bad this is
going to
be after the lockdown.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Days, it's going to be like function room Guinness.
Oh, I don't even want to think. You're upsetting me now. It's traumatic enough besides having function room Guinness to look forward to. Actually, usually we name a podcast after something someone says during the podcast, but obviously we have to name these ahead of time. I think what we should do is for when the lockdown's over, the three of us should meet up for a function room Guinness and have a podcast about it.
Okay, it's a deal, that's fine. Have to be my guide. I'll come down, we'll go for a function and get me somewhere in Waterford.
I think everywhere will be a function room when we're first back from lockdown anyway. But I suppose I want to carry on from that. Well, the first place I'd probably want to go for a pint is obviously Philly Grinds, like just an absolute institution and easily my favourite pub. The one that's probably featured on the most podcasts that we've done out of any. It's just so good. But I think as well, like, Peter, in South Dublin, I suppose, what makes the best pubs in Waterford are the bar staff, really, more than anything, you know, as well as the historic day out and all that kind of stuff. Do you have any highlights, or like, do you have any favourite interactions from a barman or bartender or barwoman ever?
like a lot of people who went to college, and I'm repping the journey. I went to Maynooth University, NUI Maynooth at the time, and I spent a lot of time in the SUR, an awful lot of time, to the point that we would have known like the jukebox playlist off my heart, what number to press. So we found out that our bar manager Connor did not like one of our favourite songs, one of Cork's finest exports ever, Where's Me Jumper by the Source Thing FC. So we'd go and maybe put in €2, which would get you 8 songs. So what we do is we'd go and we'd put on Where's Me Jumper by the Sultan Ping FC 6 times in a row, and then something else, and then the Sultan Ping FC again. So that Connor would have to walk all the way from the bar to the skip on the jukebox and skip the track, and then go back and realise it was the same track. So he'd come back and he'd skip it again, and he'd wait this time, he'd wait. And it would still be, brother, that was Karl Marx. Skip it again, and then finally something else would come on, and he'd go back for 3.5 minutes to the bar to do a bit of work. And then on it comes again. So, yeah. I really, really enjoyed Connor's company, his good mate, so it was all in good fun. And he got back at us. So one year we took an ocean and started drinking snake bites, because during Rag Week they would serve us Guinness in plastic glasses. Aldi. So we just decided that if we wanna drink out of plastic glasses, let's drink snake bites, because that would be a pain in the arse for a barman to make. Half lager, half cider, a drop of a red currant cordial. So he got back at us by spiking our snake bites one night in Bookfest. That was the wild beginning.
That's a concoction, an absolute concoction. Cav, part of my reason why we wanted to get you on was actually one of our podcasts that, I suppose, one of our most listened to podcasts back when pubs were a thing, was actually a podcast we named A Few Pints About the Irish Language. And you're well known in Irish Twitter spheres as an Irish language activist. I know that you're very involved in Pop Up Gaeil Talks, and obviously you're one of the Mother Folklore family. So I suppose briefly, before we get into the nuts and bolts, how do you feel about the Irish language at the moment, like how the current state of play in Ireland in relation to the Irish language? You've got Achtenish up in the 6 counties up north, and an awful lot of, I suppose, speak about the Irish language pre-pandemic. So how do you think we're fixed?
First of all, I think one of the reasons A Few Pints About the Irish Language is so listened to is I've listened to it about a dozen times. it was really enjoyable. It's the only Snowcast episode I've actually listened to more than once. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. How are we in the Irish language? I mean, to be honest with you, we have to talk about pre-lockdown, pre-pandemic, because it's the last time we got useful information from. Things were, not to say in rude health, but the Irish language was looking better than ever, healthier than ever. More people speak at any time in recent history. More to do in the Irish language than ever before. More Irish language content being created, more content about the Irish language being created. That's even podcasts such as yourselves. And kind of that idea of like you taking a casual chat podcast and set in pubs and talking about the Irish language for an hour or whatever it was, it's kind of shows that it's just breaking into mainstream consciousness. It's not weird anymore, it's not niche, it's just there. So look, in really good nick, to be honest with you. And, you know, one of the things as well about it is, like, the reason we set up Pop-Up Relatives a couple of years ago was in response to people talking in the media about how the Irish language was a dead language. Nobody was speaking it. It was useless either to teacher or living in the Gaeltacht or working for an Irish language organisation. You didn't speak it. So myself, my pal Oscar O'Keara, we set it up because we were reading these articles and these videos saying that basically we didn't exist. And I think that that's sort of been knocked on the head. I still read the same takes about the Irish language. Still read a lot of the same nonsense by people who don't really know what they're talking about. Talking about peg and talking about nonsense. Like, people who didn't like studying peg for the Leaving Cert 45 years ago, talking about how it's indicative of what's wrong with the Irish language. Like, that sort of nonsense is still around. But what you don't get is you don't tend to get people saying it's a dead language, nobody speaks it. That kind of thing has been knocked on the head. And people still say it's a waste of money, which is nonsense. That can only be disproved. But at the end of the day, it's probably in a better position than it has been for my lifetime, anyway, for 30, 40 years, maybe even more, maybe even since the foundation of the state. And things are on the up, but that's not to say it's perfect. The Gaeltacht, they are in serious decline. When you think about it politically as a big picture idea, the whole of rural Ireland is in a lot of trouble over the last 10, 15 years, maybe since the recession. There are parts of rural Ireland that haven't really bounced back. And then when you get to the Gaeltacht, the problem is exacerbated because all funding decisions and all infrastructure decisions in the Gaeltacht, they go through the Ross and Gaeltacht, who are the only statutory organisation dealing in infrastructure that actually had their funding cut during the recession. You know, the IDA and Enterprise Ireland had their funding increased to try and stimulate spending and stimulate the economy. With Ross and Gaeltacht, they had their funding cut, and they're still in and around 2008 levels. It hasn't even been adjusted for inflation. A slight increase year on year. It's not keeping up with the cost of living for people in Gaeltacht areas. And look, I know the Waterford Gaeltacht on Rhine has got really good high speed broadband, but that's because Nemeton TV Productions basically got the pipe in. Like, they met most of the cost. They went to the rest of the Gaeltacht and said, we need this, build a studio and employ 100 people in Waterford. So we need to get this done. But the Gaeltacht, they don't have that. They don't have that impetus behind them. And there are massive parts of the country where Irish is the first language and it's experiencing a brain drain, a massive internal migration of the youth, massive external migration of the youth, and it's problematic, to be honest with you, because that's, you know, Sheil Gaeltacht, the Cree, the champion, the Gaeltacht is the heart of the language, and if you don't act to protect the Gaeltacht, that's where the language will run into trouble. But again, on balance, things are quite positive, and very positive about where the Irish language is and where she's going.
I think that's really good. I think first of all, you make a great point about the argument about the cost of language, because that's been completely disproven. I think there was a paper published by Conan O'Gaeilge in 2015, 2016, that showed that what we spend to keep the language as an official language in the EU it equates to €2.20 per citizen per year, I think. So, I mean, you're not looking at anything that's a burden on anyone. It's not a burden on society at all. And if anything, I think it adds to society. Owen, based on what Peter said there, what's your take on the Irish language at the moment?
Yeah, I suppose I'm probably building with excitement about the Irish language at the moment. I suppose, like, just to give you my backstory, Peter, on the Irish language, went to Quail School. So that was Quail School, Port Harrogate there in Ballygunner. So up until sixth class, I was taught through Irish, and then I went to Delisle College, which is an English-speaking force upon him at that time, and I think he nearly came a second job to him as opposed to the actual management of the school. So I could honestly say that for my leaving cert, I use my primary school Irish. And I was happy with that, but it just, I just never built upon it. But anyway, what I'm saying though is that I feel that there's kind of excitement building towards it, is that it's the likes of the guys of like Kneecap and stuff who like brought about a kind of casual Irishness, that you can just go and have a chat. Like myself and DJ now would have a few drunken Irish chats. Like it tends about like, I think about like pints 12 or so, that the Irish is just just comes out non-stop, like in the middle of the chipper, just chat shit. That's great, yeah. And it's great, like, cause again, but like I'm still using that primary school Irish, and that would have like, you know, like I actually was, I'd say like almost fluent, I suppose, when I was in sixth class, but I've probably lost it over the years. But like, you know, it's that flow, it's that rhythm of Irish that kind of comes back to you, and like what sounds right, that you kind of come back to it. And I don't know, I just think like it's lads like that that like just you don't have to make a fool of yourself if you like use the wrong word, or you substitute in an English word for, you know, an Irish word that you can't think of, you don't know or whatever. And I think like having that like level of Irishness and like that I don't know, that kind of community of Irishness is like really exciting. I think like a lot of my friends now as well like would be kind of like of that ilk as well, like would like to throw in a cuckoo fuckle every now and again, like even do it the other way around where you're speaking in an English sentence and you throw in like something. So yeah, no, I'm excited about the Irish language. I think it's in pretty good nick at the moment. But yeah, I suppose in terms of like trying to promote it and build that community even further, maybe there's something isn't there, maybe there needs to be a bit more put into it. Like, you know, Shock on the Gaeilge is fucking 1 week a year, like, you know, it's, you know, and you get a big push then, like, but
2.5 weeks is the Shock on the Gaeilge. I mean, they keep growing, but look, Kneecap, things that Kneecap have done successfully and to a huge audience, a bigger audience than we ever could have imagined when the boys started out 2-3 years ago, is that they've sort of given people a taste of the real, of what Irish speakers sound like and look like, and importantly, what their Irish sounds like in reality, because the confidence issue is massive. You come into a situation where you have to speak Irish and all of a sudden you're worried, is it going to be right? Am I going to use the wrong words? Am I going to look like a fool if I don't use the right words? What do I do if I don't know the words? How do I say it? How do you say this? I can't use English. Oh my God, that's terrible. And you just want to grab people and just say it's okay. Have you ever been to the Gaeltacht? Have you ever heard the Gaeltacht Irish speaker? Because, you know, Connemara, it's like, well, Conor Rose or Slushy Day, the Amara Mice, Connemara, Slushy Day, and Mick. It's kind of just, the idea that disfluency is a bad thing, these breaks in your conversation, or using the wrong word, or filling in a word you don't know, it's just false. Like, disfluency actually is an indication of fluency, and it's an indication of comfort in the language. So if you're comfortable enough to, like, and I say this as someone, I used to have a radio show on Radio Niffin, so I spent years as a broadcaster interviewing in the Irish language, and I always said that if you're interviewing someone in the Irish language, I would much rather get somebody who knows how to say a sentence in Irish, and if they don't know the words from the English, they don't care about that, that's no problem. I used to interview people all the time, and they wouldn't know the terms, the technical terms that they were using in the council chamber, or in the Dáil, or in the Shannon. They wouldn't know them in Irish, but that's no problem. I don't mind a politician saying, you know, talking about legislation, oil, air, the
That's for the best if anyone comes out.
There's a reason we decided to set Pop of Gueltacht in a pub, and it's always in a pub, and it's been around the world. We started in Dublin in November 2016, so 3.5 years ago. And there's a reason it's spread around the world. The reason is basically people don't get mired, and when you're 3-4 pints in, you don't care about those mistakes anymore. And it becomes a much more social use of the Irish language, because the Irish language, because of our cultural hangover and our kind of our post-colonial society, it is a deeply personal thing. So if you go through that school experience and you don't have a good Irish teacher, it means more to you than not having a good maths teacher or not having a good geography teacher. You just don't hear people say, you know, like, oh, geography, I had a terrible teacher. That really ruined it for me. Now I don't even want to know what an Oxbow Lake is. It's just, it's not my glacial moraine. You know, I had a terrible teacher. It's a much more deeply ingrained personal lived experience because of who we are as a nation and the fact that we have the Irish language everywhere, but the vast majority of people, beyond place names, beyond a bit of basic Irish, they don't speak it, and that's the reality.
I think there are some great points. I'm glad you brought up Kneecap one, because you know, I love Kneecap. I think they're brilliant. But I think as well, like, you have to look at, you know, there have been some funny developments with Kneecap, with TG Cahir and RTE since they've come out, and they've been called X, Y, and Z and banned from certain radio stations and stuff. And I always think, like, at the end of the day, if the language can be accepted as normal and not weird, as Cav, as you were saying, now it's not weird to speak Irish. You know, of course, Irish speakers also do drugs and have sex and do, like, everything else that all English speakers do. And I look at it as a really positive step, because it's normalizing the language. It's using the language in a way that we use English every day. And I'd also add to what you say, Cav, about, like, someone not knowing a word and throwing in English, or like, knowing a basic structure of a sentence, but like, not speaking it perfectly. I don't fucking speak grammatically perfect English every day, you know what I mean? Like, I definitely don't. I think very few of us actually do. But what's really interesting, speaking in Kneecap, is Mowgli Bapp's eldest brother, Anla, I actually knew growing up. And, like, their family story is fascinating. And just a shout out to Anla's podcast, the Rebel Matters podcast, where he does some in Irish and some in English. And I spoke Irish, obviously, as a younger person. You would speak Irish or Anla, but, like, it was the first time I was exposed to someone from West Belfast with that very particular thick accent speaking Irish. And you know what? It was challenging, but it was actually, once you actually listened, and it actually taught me how to listen a bit better. Jeez, it was lovely having a conversation with Anla in Irish, and he actually has a great podcast where he interviews his father about the growth of Irish in West Belfast. And I mean, if they can grow Irish, the Irish language in Belfast, and they can, I wonder what the hovering head is doing. But you know, like,
turn the light on. The sun's going down. I have to turn the light on.
If you could, I was wondering. Yeah, it's fairly impressive. If you could recreate what the community in West Belfast did in pockets around the country, in 10 years' time, you would see the figures jump. I actually did a bit of digging into the figures before we came on, just out of interest. And in the last census, I think, Cav, you said, like you set up Pop of Gaeltacht at the end of 2016. There was an awful lot of absolute tripe written about the Irish language in 2016. And a lot of it, I think, was on the back of the census, where I think Irish language speakers from the census in 2011 dropped by 13,000, but it was still like 1.7 million people. So it was a slight drop in 2016 in overall figures. But when you, it's all about how do you interpret data. And you can very basically say there's a drop in the number of speakers, but there was a huge shift in the age profile of Irish speakers over the previous 15 years to a much younger demographic. And a much bigger proportion of younger people are speaking Irish now than did. I mean, like, the lowest, under 60s, the lowest percentage of people who speak Irish are in the 20s, that are people in their 20s in 2016, believe it or not. Which we would have fallen in. I was 26 in 2016, and I think, like, you know, you have to look at it and say 30 this year. Yeah.
I was 32.
You have to look at that and say, right, like, why? What are the reasons why myself? myself and Owen's generation didn't speak Irish. We had, you know, is it because of the Celtic Tiger and globalisation and you know, the world becoming a smaller place? That being said, when you look at the change, like how you interpret the demographics, like there are a lot more young people speaking Irish now than they have done. And you just look at, you know, kneecap of emerged over the last 2 years. We've got Nós magazine, which is a brilliant online publication in the Irish medium. We've got An Siúpa Leabhar, which I know you guys spoke to on Mother Folklore about. Radio na Lifa, you've mentioned their calf. Like, there are so many, like, really, like, innovative Irish language, I suppose, mediums being driven by younger people, like Muntor Meg on Instagram and people like that, you know. We've got, like, the Irish language is, if you look at the demographic of people under 30 years of age now, the Irish language is thriving, as you said at the start, better than it has ever done so before. I think you're spot on with that. Sure. Look at the
it's amazing content. She's absolutely fantastic about making the Irish language accessible to everyone, and it's really, you know, a brilliant way of doing things. I think social media is massive. It's a huge part in it. Like, it's kind of, there's no one clear cut answer as to why. There's sort of an uptick and there's kind of a missing generation. Generation. There's no one clear answer. Some of it is down to the media that we consume. That, like, I would have grown up watching a lot more Irish made television than even my younger brother, who's 4 years younger than me. My brother's 31. So even in that short time, like, I would have grown up watching 40 Codes, Bosco, things like that. And that would have had a lot of little bit of Irish strewn into it. Whereas my brother would have grown up watching Pokemon. You know what I mean? It's just, there's a just slight little thing. And then you had the advent of social media, 2008 onwards, like this idea that's how that people could stay in contact with each other remotely, constantly, instead of, like, email was one thing, but just this idea of being in constant contact with each other. And it sort of gave a platform to the Irish language. And one of the key things is the Irish language has to innovate, and the people who speak the Irish language have to innovate. I think the Irish language community have realised that they have to innovate. So some of the most progressive, some of the edgiest, some of the best stuff coming out in Ireland at the moment is in or about or associated with the Irish language. Look at Kneecap. Like, they're doing stuff that nobody else is doing, because they are, I don't know, it's unfair to the lads and it's unfair to their talent to say they're a satirical rap outfit, but there's an element of satire there. Harkens back to the ancient Irish traditions of satire, but they do it without punching down, and they do it without being misogynist, without being racist. They do it based on a lived experience about what it's like growing up in West Belfast, where the Irish language is a serious part of your identity, because you're actually still an oppressed community. Alright, fair enough, the two boys are definitely children of the Good Friday Agreement generation. Like, they're not lads who would have experienced the troubles hands-on. That family memory, that community memory is there. They're an oppressed community, and that comes through in their work. If you look at, even with RTE, like, I mean, I have so many criticisms. I love public service broadcasting. I have so many criticisms of RTE, like, just, the list is endless. When you look at the Irish language content, look at what TG Carr is doing, look at what Radio Llywelyn is doing. The most downloaded RTE podcast by a country is Bjorn Reagan, which is three young women talking about things that are important to them for half an hour every week. And it's absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, because for RTE, it's radical. For Ireland, it's actually quite radical. It's really stock standard stuff when it comes to podcasting, because that's what people have been doing for a long time in the podcast world. But RTE still haven't gotten onto that. Like, their podcasts are still... their shows, they've started to experiment. They've got this new murder mystery podcast that they've done, and they've released it in English and in Irish, and actually the numbers of download exactly the same, the exact same amount of people are listening to it in English. Wow. As they are the idea, and then you listen to Radio Na Gaeltacht. Like, Radio Na Gaeltacht is fantastic. It's still local radio for the Gaeltacht. Like, you still get the news as to what's happening in ring, and you get the local notices, like, you know, Johnny Coley and Hamish wants to sell a dog. That's still on there. 7 o'clock or half seven? Sorry, half seven. Every or is it half six? It's half six. Every night, the local notices. That's still on Ready on the Ground. But then, like, you're on that day. You got Blyra with Andy Lee Freshley, which is just a top notch magazine show. You know, there's Tuzocha, which is a fantastic news current affairs show, and then you got Keno Kivon doing just the most incredible. In the evenings, really, really cutting edge and innovative stuff, and it's absolutely amazing. Radio Nalifa in Dublin, the radio station I enjoyed a very long association with before I became an elected politician, they dumped me like a hot snot as soon as I was I think they were afraid I was going to lose and bring shame to the parish, but I got the seat, so but no, the Radio Nalifa has been attracting like thousands of downloads and listens and streams all around the world because it has no music mandate. If you listen to 2FM, in fact, if you listen to any mainstream FM Irish radio station, you have to listen to Top 40. Like, you just have to listen to Top 40, particularly if it's commercial radio. Commercial radio, the sponsors only want to be associated with popular music and this kind of lowest common denominator content. And in this Irish language sphere where it's non-commercial, because basically we don't have the money, we have to innovate, we have to find new ways to be creative, and I think that's really come through in a lot of the things we've seen on the wild. And I'm really delighted, DJ, that you mentioned Nox, because one of the key things that Nox has done over the last couple of years, 3 years or so, has been to have Grad Kjell announce the Nox Music Awards, where they actually recognise Irish language music and Irish language artists, traditional and new. Original, in a way that had never been done before. Like, there's always been the RT Folk Awards, but that included English language folk, and that gets dominated by, you know, the big names, Mary Black, Christy Moore, that sort of thing. This was a space for Irish language artists to actually be showcased, and that's where NECAP kind of came to prominence. Like, I remember that it was their first major appearance. They had released Kjarta a couple of weeks beforehand, and they were just being told this is being broadcast on Radio on the Ground through the live. Don't fucking curse. Of course, they won Newcomer of the Year, and the first thing the boys say, fuck me. So, you know, there's this space in the Irish language, and in particular the creative industries within the Irish language have to innovate and to experiment. It's brilliant, it's fantastic, it's great, and it allows us to have outcomes like people realising that the Irish language is not only alive and well, but exactly as you said, DJ, people who speak Irish, they have sex, they take drugs, they go out, they drink, they do good things, stupid things. I mean, I would say we have more sex and do more drugs, but you know, it's just that we're there, and it's one of the things that we wanted to achieve with Pop Up Wild, that was to create this, basically shine light on what was already happening. There were already loads and loads of pockets of Irish being spoken in Dublin, and we decided that instead of it being a poetry night or a storytelling night or a songwriter's night or a drama night or whatever, hidden in these cloisters, in these little Irish language areas, so we're going to go out into the English language area, and we're going to just take over. We're just going to pick a pub in which English is normally spoken, for one night every month, it's going to be a Gaelic dance. I'm sorry, that's it. And, you know, one of the things that I've always noticed for many, many years, I've come to the end of this diatribe that has not made much sense now, but one of the things that I've noticed is when I go out with friends who speak Irish, so if the three of us were out for a pint and we're chatting away on Gaelic, somebody comes to the table and doesn't speak any Irish, well, we all speak English, so we're going to be nice, we're going to be polite, and we're all going to speak English so as not to exclude anybody. But we gave people a night where you don't have to do that. Yeah. Somebody comes up and speaks English, you just go, ah, look at the sign, mate, Bob McWelton, I'll talk to you tomorrow, slán. And that's it, and it's been liberating, it's been enjoyable, it's been fantastic. And I, you know what, and to be honest with you, I should have done this for a while, because I miss it, I miss going. calling you up for points. It's misleading people, but look, it's brilliant. Look, some of the spaces we have yet to explore and innovate in the Irish language, they're exciting too. We're really looking forward to seeing what the next couple of years brings us.
Well, I think you're dead right, and I think if an Irish language hip hop rap act from West Belfast can get into the mainstream like Kneecap have, if there's anyone out there who has any other ideas in relation to Irish language, why can it not work? You know, Kneecap sold out shows in the UK for God's sake, and they're rapping about, you know, they're rapping about doing drugs, they're rapping about the trouble, or the, well, they're rapping about aspects of discrimination in the North, and they're being satirical about post-colonialism. And I mean, why can nobody else do have an idea and go with an Irishman? I think Nos is a great example as well, because like what I love about Nos is they publish every week their like most visited articles, most visited items of the week, and even for example, like we went to college with Kira Kenny, the artist Kiriak, who does doodles for Nos as well, and like I have to say, like some of those doodles are as good as you're going to see in terms of like satirical, you know, finger on the pulse, current affairs aware art representations of society that you're going to see in any sphere. And she's doing it Oscuelga a lot of the time on Nos, and you know what, it's modern Irish being very relevant in a globalized world, and it's absolutely fantastic to see. Yeah.
And like it's been brilliant, and to be honest with you, it was a very, very clever decision by Nos and their editor Matthew Cumming to snap her up and get her to do cartoons, because we had lost that in Ireland in general, the satirical cartoon being done really, really well. It had stopped telling truth to power. You know, the satirical cartoon that you see in whatever paper you pick up, they'd stop being effective. It stopped really speaking and resonating with people. And I think Kira does that. And I can't speak highly enough of her work. I think she has prints for sale, you know, help a gal out during lockdown. Ask Kira on Twitter. Give her an old tweet there. Tell her you want to buy some art. She's class.
She's very good, to be fair. She is. And what about your consumption of Irish media at the moment? What's it like?
My consumption of Irish media? I suppose probably wouldn't be that high, really. Like, I wouldn't put myself out there that much to actually, like, consume Irish media. And I think it's probably a commentary on just the amount of content of just things in general that are out there at the moment. I think like you have to go out yourself in order to try and find Irish media. It's not like front and centre for you. So in terms of like, you know, like literally as I'm going in the car then, like each day, I think I have like a backlog of about 8 hours of podcasts that I've to listen to, like have to listen to, is what I'm saying here now. But like, and then like you come home and like it's Netflix and then it's bed, and you know, it's just like as much as you like to put the Irish language in front of you, like it hasn't come naturally for me. Unfortunately do not have television, so when I used to have TV, it's like flick on TG Car and see if there's anything. I used to love when like Harry Potter or Squid goes on. That was savage. I used to love going through that. But I suppose like disappointing enough, I don't consume as much Irish media as I probably want to. But maybe this conversation might make me change my mind. I think that murder mystery podcast possibly sounds really cool for RT, like I think I'll tip it to that one now, alright.
It's amazing. There's a really good playlist that was pointed out to me on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. I was actually I tweeted some musicians that have a couple of shows on TG Cahir, and that would be prevalent on TG Cahir. Just say, like, is there any chance you could put together a Spotify playlist, an Outshine list, that we could have, like, some of the regular songs that feature, like Mardivore and other songs like that. I mean, like, this is what I think is fascinating. Like, when you actually listen to Irish songs, like, we are some of the randiest, craziest fuckers in the history of the planet. Like, all these old songs that they're all about riding and fighting and killing people, every single one of them. Like, Ban Fodhian has to be one of the most, like, psychotic songs that you ever want to listen to. And
we did a podcast about some of them on the folklore. But yeah, it's unreal. Like, you know, like, when just Apology's wife, I want to break that bitch's legs and I hope she drowns. It's dark.
Yeah.
It's dark.
It's absolutely mental. But you know, Moira Vore, which is like the start of that's like, I have women all over the place, but Moira Moore is the best one of all of them. Like, you know, and he's gone off to Inish Man and places like this and throwing the leg over, and then he's back to Moira's the best, though. He'll always come back to her, you know. And I just think it's brilliant that stuff like kneecap are modernizing the language and stuff like that, but there are some fantastic turns of phrases in these kind of songs. But John Spillane is my personal cup of tea listening to music, but he's got a great playlist on Spotify that I found doing this kind of looking at how, right, I need to listen to a few more songs of Skoiga. And he's got a playlist on Spotify that's songs we learned, Irish songs we learned in school.
It's absolutely brilliant.
I highly recommend everyone just have one listen through, because there's some of the songs there that you, like on Vodrine Rua, that you've just forgotten existed if you haven't been engaged. And then I had Bodgy and Eilemin going in University Hospital Waterford there a couple of weeks ago, and got a couple of the staff members humming along, then come in after lunch and someone's humming Bodgy and Eilemin in University Hospital Waterford in 2020. Like, you know, that's what you want. I think everyone has their part to play with the Irish language going forward. Like even if you don't know any, just learn a small bit. Learn a small bit, and just fucking give that to someone else. You know, and I suppose usually, Cav, what we're trying to aim with this now for going forward is have the little chat about the more serious stuff. And I'm gonna ask you some nonsense questions now, just to try and get the old giggles flowing.
Okay, I'm good. Let me just top up my pint of wine.
Pints of wine. That's the Dutch slanche. That's the Dutch courage you need to go after Peggy Little Vore. If you could play in a film any character from Irish language mythology, Irish language books, Irish language songs, who would you play?
Probably Fionn McCool. Because Fionn McCool, like, a lot of people may know the story of the Salmon of Knowledge, and they may know some of the rest of the mythology, but actually reading it, and if you read even the English language treatments of the Fenian cycle, pint of wine is repeating.
Stories from history would be
Yeah. Sort of, sorry, no, copyright as Net Movies Originals. Interesting to sort of play around in, and like a space I would really like to play around in is the Fenian Cycle. I think is amazing, and a close second would be Cucullin. We just think the bits are just astounding. They're just absolutely magnificent. I think they make incredible fucking television, like Game of Thrones esque kind of that level of just cinematic event. And we have it here. It's in the Corpus Towers. It's part of everyone who is from here or chooses to live on this island, or whose parents or grandparents or great grandparents came from here. It's yours, and it's fucking class. So I'd like to do that. Feel cool.
Very good, Owen. Have you got anyone? Brave, yeah. I mean, in fairness, they did, like...
Why did you make more of a beastie thing, like, thinking of dog beasts? Like, this thing was meant to be massive, like, that dog was meant to be absolutely gigantic, like a guard, like, yeah. Huge guard.
Yeah, but he was a 9-year-old child. Everything's going to be massive to a 9-year-old child.
I just say, like... You'd have to...
murdered a beloved family pet.
You'd have to somehow cast Joe Canning as Cucullin as a 9-year-old child as well. But the other thing I'd add, I wouldn't be too concerned, Cav, to be honest, about Disney portraying the historical accuracy of the story. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I don't think Pocahontas is I think they definitely went around the edges a bit there, like, you know, and
they left out all the syphilis.
Yeah, oh listen, and there were tapes of it.
No,
and not even like a sneaky side, not even a sneaky side character whose name could be rearranged to syphilis, you know, like, or Sir Philip or something. That if you said it really quick,
I think
Sir Philip.
You nearly cost me a really good laptop there.
That's all right. I tell you what, I think don't take something right now because I think you'll enjoy this one. If I was to play anyone from Irish literature, or Irish songs, or Irish history, never speaking times, I'd probably play your man in Colossus, Tris an Ghaeilge, because he had a great time. I mean, I think he had a great time. It depends on what way you translate it. Because you know, I listened to that podcast driving back from a wedding in Cork back to Waterford at like 2:30 in the morning. That I went to straight from work, so I basically had done a like 16-hour day, and I'm driving 2 hours, and I said, I'll throw on Mother Folklore, sure, this will be handy enough, like a nice listen to get me home. Bastards, like 2:30 in the morning, I nearly ended up in every ditch between fucking Yall and Dungarvan. Oh, stop. Oh, that's a good one. I think what we might do is we might wrap up the podcasting for now, call it a day.
I have a second. I have a quiz for Zoody.
Oh,
segue. Right.
Best. He's only our spokesperson for Irish, like. You asked me one of our favorite beers. I mean, we talk about it every week.
Okay. Peter, what is the Irish for hipster?
So, I would translate it as gagging a maggot, which is like this kind of term from Dinning's dictionary that equates to a swaggering fop. So, I'm going to say gagging a maggot.
That's definitely better than Google Translate. I go with calf, to be honest. There, I'm gonna body Darrock, and I'm gonna speak for him and say he was bored and just got lazy at that point in the article.
Yeah.
My family are going to be so ashamed of me. Like, they're going to denounce me as an alcoholic. Pell Kalashta, Trisum Gwelga.
I haven't played fantasy football in years. Okay, right. We have to try and break this one down. Could be Pell Fantasyachta.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Okay, we'll take that.
Yeah.
I say, Cav, you could have just worked backwards and taken fantasy baseball and just swapped baseball out for Pell.
Fantasy baseball is usually known as rotisserie baseball because apparently we're all fat fuckers.
It's not vodka, it's in the tens. It's either 10.1 or 10.8, I think. 10.1.
I'm just going to double check it here.
The suspense is killing me.
And then you go like, who's taking the next one? David O'Leary.
Channel your inner David O'Leary now, Cav. You have to beat me.
So, Cav, right? My favourite Irish word. What is the Irish for selfie?
Okay. I use the word fainy. That's my first answer. That's absolutely class. There is one in the dictionary called fainfic, and I just reject it. And I think this is the truth split in Irish society. It's not nationalist and unionist, it's not Catholic, Protestant, it's not urban and rural. It's do you say fainy, or do you say fainfic, and I say fainy.
Fainy, I love it, that is beauty. DJ.
All the pressure's on you now, Daniel Tomofte.
I actually don't know. Wolf of Wall Street. I can tell you it's a Black Forest Gatto Stout.
Yes.
I'm gonna go.
I'm gonna tell you that, DJ.
Yeah. 4.8%.
No, 6.2.
Whoa, she was a feisty little yolk. They all have
enough.
Sure, we all have good penmanship.
Wait, don't you just say work in healthcare?
We read the shite penmanship. That's the one with the blank label. I've no idea. Absolutely no idea. 4.0.
It's a number you're well acquainted with.
4.20.
Peter got it.
What?
6.9%.
That's his bonus point. He didn't just beat me, he wiped the floor.
That's very fun.
Packy who? Brilliant. Fair play. Listen, Lazarus, we'll probably stop the recording here now and finish our drinks with a private conversation that won't be online, so we can say what we really think. Thanks everyone for tuning.
That's just for your Patreon subscribers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exclusive.
Yeah, patreon.com/snowcast. Yeah. OnlyFans/snowcast. Listen, Cav, thanks a million for coming on, man. It's been really good.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We'll have to do it in real life again soon. Everyone, thanks a million for tuning in. We'll put this out as audio as well for the ears of all of the other people who couldn't be with us live. And sound as a bell. Talk to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive? And your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.